And this time, Lee went along. He really didn't have arguments with which to counter this plan, and so he agreed that his army would be weakened in the hope of accomplishing something in the vicinity of Chattanooga. As I said earlier, the troops that were selected to go were James Longstreet's 1st Corps divisions, the only two that were left with the army. George Pickett's division had been so battered at Gettysburg that it was off trying to be rebuilt at this stage of the war. It wasn't considered a viable military organization. So Longstreet had only two divisions, John Bell Hood's and Lafayette McLaws's. Those two divisions would head west together with the artillery that belonged to Longstreet's corps. Meanwhile, Rosecrans and his Army of the Cumberland repeated their success of June by maneuvering Bragg out of Chattanooga without a fight. A brilliant follow-up to the Tullahoma campaign. Chattanooga was a critically important city. It lay at the junction of two major east-west southern railroads, and it served as the gateway not only to eastern Tennessee, if you're coming from the south, but also to the industrial centers of Georgia, because a railroad ran from Chattanooga down to the important city of Atlanta in northern Georgia. A move from Chattanooga to Atlanta would split the Confederacy again. It's the type of move that old Winfield Scott had envisioned back in his early planning in the first spring of the war, this major strike into the heart of the Confederacy. So federal capture of Chattanooga was a very good piece of news for the North. Rosecrans began his advance on August 16th. He demonstrated in front of the city, in front of Bragg's force, with one of his Army Corps, and then crossed the Tennessee River above the city with the rest of his strength, and thus came in behind Bragg's left flank. Bragg had no choice but to abandon the city of Chattanooga, which he did on September 9th. He retreated completely out of Tennessee. Now the Army of Tennessee is no longer in Tennessee. It is in North Georgia. Burnside, at the same time, had moved fairly efficiently toward Knoxville, and 3 days before Rosecrans marched into Chattanooga, Burnside had captured Knoxville. 6 days, excuse me, not three. Knoxville had fallen on the 3rd. So here is tremendous Union success in the last two important cities left in Tennessee that hadn't been under Union control. All of Tennessee is now under Union control, all the major cities. Nashville long gone, Memphis gone, now Chattanooga and Knoxville both belong to the United States. Lincoln's long-cherished wish to free East Tennessee had been accomplished. Rosecrans telegraphed Lincoln on the 9th, "Chattanooga is ours without a struggle, and East Tennessee is free. Our move on the enemy's flank and rear progresses." Rosecrans wants to push his advantage to keep going after Bragg here. Rosecrans believed at this stage of the campaign that the Confederates were completely disorganized and demoralized. This is an army that he's pushed completely out of Tennessee without even having to fight, basically, and I think that Rosecrans thought the Army of Tennessee was, if not on its last legs, approaching that position. Retreating into central Georgia, seemingly with no offensive notions in mind. He acted on that belief by scattering his army on an arc from Chattanooga down into North Georgia, spreading them out on a wide front, unaware of the fact that the Confederates, in fact, were planning a major counterblow in this part of the strategic landscape. Bragg did have offensive notions of his own. He'd been reinforced by two divisions from Joseph Johnston's army. He'd been reinforced by troops under Simon Bolivar Buckner that had been stationed in East Tennessee. And he would soon receive the reinforcements from Lee's army. Those two divisions, those two veteran divisions from the Army of Northern Virginia, used to success, victors on a number of battlefields, they were on their way via rail. Now, they had to take a very roundabout route, these two divisions from Virginia did, because the Southern rail system was in such a decrepit state by this point in the war. They had to take roundabout ways. They had to go way out of the what would seem to be the direct route. The rolling stock wasn't in good shape. Delay after delay, locomotives would break down. The right cars wouldn't be available. In the end, only about two-thirds of Longstreet's men would get to Bragg in time for the next fight, but it was still a fairly impressive use of railroads on the Confederacy's part to shift a significant piece of one army to reinforce another.